Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we thank Van Halen for the jump music. And that's David Lee Roth singing us out in there. 12 after, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. My pleasure as always. We got our good buddy Jim Ostroff with us, ladies and gentlemen. Jim is associate editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and he's joining us today to help us understand some of the things that Kiplinger reports this week in the Kiplinger Letter. Jim, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. Good morning, and good morning, everybody.
It's good to have you back. The big news, of course, the big news, Jim, is what happened in the election this week.
And
we're going to talk about that a little bit later on, but mostly I think we should go ahead and make sure, obviously everybody knows that Senator Clinton won Florida, and he's garnered a bunch of endorsements, hasn't he?
I'm sorry, you just said.
I mean McCain. Did I say McCain? Yes. I don't know what Senator McCain. Yes. Well, Senator Clinton won Florida too.
Yeah, she won too. He won Florida, and somewhat surprising, people thought that that Romney had a better chance, and then very quickly, you had Giuliani endorse McCain, and now supposedly Schwarzenegger's
going to, but I misspoke and said I really meant to say McCain, but I said Clinton. But the truth is, Senator Clinton did win Florida too.
Did, but it didn't matter.
In an election that doesn't matter. Now that's the weirdest thing, Jim. That Florida thing.
Yeah.
For the Democrats.
They went too early. They were too early.
Is the Democrat leadership really going to not let the Florida delegates count in the convention?
You never know.
What they're saying.
That's exactly what they're saying. You never know what mischief, some political leaders can get into. But they're saying, again, as we said, you held the election, but the votes don't count. You can't seat anybody. It's bizarre.
Is that not going to make some people vote Republican?
If I were a
Democrat slash independent, I were a little more, kind of on the fence between Democrat and independent, and the national party said, we're not going to let your vote count because we don't like when you had your primary, that would make me lean a little more independent, a little less Democrat.
It certainly would, and it will, to some extent. Of course, how much of a difference this eventually makes, nobody knows. But it's just the concept here, saying you can hold freedom of speech, except you must not hold your primary earlier than this date when we tell you, or else you can hold it, but it doesn't count.
You
can only see me when I'm not there.
If they wanted to diss Wyoming, no offense to Wyoming, but there's not a lot of delegates out there.
Right.
But if they wanted to diss Wyoming, I could see the political strategy there. But I don't see the benefit in dissing Florida.
Well, it's only the fourth most populous state
exactly.
in the country.
Exactly. Don't they say he who wins Florida wins the election?
Well, let's see. Has that
of course, they
ever...
also say that about Ohio too. I think.
Well, they have Ohio, but let's remember 2000. How critical Florida was.
Absolutely.
It is a very key state.
Down to about 500 votes or something ridiculous like that.
Exactly. A very key state, and to monkey around with this, and just say,
I think it's bad business.
Yeah.
I'm predicting it's going to come back to haunt the Democrat Party.
It may well.
The way they treated the voters down there.
If there's something very tight, it may well make a difference.
It'll be interesting to see if there's any kind of a confrontation or any kind of an issue on the convention floor. Folks, watch for that.
Well, and I got to say, especially here, final point, we're coming up to some big elections next Tuesday, very important. No clear leader may emerge, and next week there are some others as well. it may well come down to the convention floor, particularly in the Democratic side. Then what? Then you you say, well, your vote doesn't matter. No, you never had one because we took it away. If you did, it would make a difference. Then what?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So Jim, the economy. It is the economy. That's become the big issue right now. Iraq is not number one on the concern list of voters. It's the economy. And what does Kiplinger think about how the economy is going these days?
I mean, in short, you know, it's right now, it's limping along. It may or may not be in recession. We still think, at most, it's teetering. No, not certain that the economy will go into recession. But, you know, it is limping along right now, probably for second quarter in a row. But you need two quarters of declines. It's really, odds are, it's not all that likely that we'll have a recession. But in any event, things are certainly slowing up. And, you know, our members of Congress have decided in their wisdom that we need a stimulus package. Of course, the president does as well.
Well, here's what I don't get, Jim. I'm very disappointed in the president. I'm very disappointed in our Congress. They're overreacting for political purposes, which obviously they're the best at doing that. Mm-hmm. They are politicians, after all. You can't blame a rattlesnake if he bites you. That's what rattlesnakes do.
That's what they do.
But the thing is, Jim, is we had the second quarter was like 3.9. The third quarter last year was like 4.6 or something
right.
like that.
Right. Right.
Okay, fourth quarter came in at 0.6. We still had a 2.9% growth in 07.
For the year, that's right.
And even though 2008 is not going to be great, it looks like it's going to be, the last numbers I saw, it's going to come in somewhere around 2.2 to 2.5, most people think. That is not something to panic about.
Yeah, well, you know, I think there was sort of outsized concern, of course, about continued slowing in housing as well as banking situation. But Congress and political leaders are not known for taking any sort of long view and saying, wait a few months. No, let's act now.
Somebody called this a jobs package, and then somebody else said, yeah, it's a jobs. It's the politicians' jobs they're going for.
Well,
Jim, where are we going to get the $150 billion? We don't have that money. Where are we going to get that? We're going to borrow more money from China?
We'll borrow it or print it.
That makes no sense at all. Stand by. Quick break. 20 after, I should say. Here's John Cougar Mellencamp to take us out.
When I was a young boy.
Little bit of Steely Dan for you there. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Jim Ostroff is our guest, our good friend, associate editor with the Kiplinger Editors. We're debating a little bit the issue with the rebate, the stimulus package that they're calling it. You know, Jim, the thing is, here's what's really sad to me about what the government is working on. By the time any money gets in anybody's hands, we could literally be entering a quarter that could be a 3% growth quarter.
It could,
and so all this has been it's too late
right.
to really help. And so then you pile that on top of what may be, you know, some decent times, and what have you got there? You got inflation.
And again, many people look, they say, wait a minute, you know, insanity by definition is doing the same thing over, expecting no different outcome.
Right.
Now, remember, early part of this decade, and you know, 2001, we had a stimulus package enacted, and the Fed kept cutting and cutting interest rates. Not saying it's going to happen again, but we saw some irrational exuberance that
right.
followed, overheating, and then we have some problems right now. And some people look and say we're doing the same thing. So we may be talking on air a year from now saying, how are we going to curb this inflation?
Exactly. And with the Fed cutting rates, see, I think the Fed cutting rates has already taken care of a lot of this other problems.
Right.
And if the government wants to do anything, what they need to do is make the tax cuts permanent. That's in my opinion, that's the best thing they could do. But speaking of tax cuts and tax benefits, Jim, that's one of the ways that they're attempting. They think they're attempting to help the businesses in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's misguided too, Jim. I mean, I'm always looking for ways to hoping for ways to help small business owners. But we've already got $125,000 a year for our small business in direct expensing through Section 179.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There are a lot of companies out there, smaller companies, that spend more than that a year. They need to spend $500,000 on mm-hmm. equipment or whatever. But most small businesses, $125,000 for most small businesses is a lot of capital outlay in 1 year.
That's right. Now they're looking at.
And
doubling.
So we don't. So my point is you're not helping most small businesses if you raise that to $250,000.
No,
because they're not going to use it.
That's right. And so Congress is adept at doing things like that, and then they can say we offered this help or this money, whatever, knowing in fact it won't. Most of it won't be used, but they can say they did it.
You know, right.
They dangle it out there knowing it probably is not going to be used. But as I've mentioned, as many people have discussed, there's a big election coming up, and a lot of logic and reason does not matter.
So, well, that's exactly right. And, Jim, as I look over at your economic forecasts, I'm looking at them here, and I see eight different indicators.
Right.
Two of them are up. One of them is up, and seven of them are down.
Well, we reversed the arrows here now. it's the other way. No, generally, I got to say, generally we see various economic measures pointing down through pretty much this year in one way or another. But it depends. What I'm saying here is that we're saying that down retail sales probably slow to a 2.5% increase this year from a higher rate last year. That doesn't mean that everything is negative.
Yeah, well, that's exactly because you've got to down arrow by inflation, and
right.
That's a good thing.
Right.
You've got to down arrow by mm-hmm. trade deficit, and that's a good thing.
Right.
You've got a down arrow by interest rates, which we know about, and that's kind of a good thing.
But we see some real negatives, such as feel that housing sales will be off 10% this year from a year ago, and GDP, which we see now, it's a little lower than what you were talking about. We see 1% to 2% this year,
mm-hmm.
But that may well be conservative. Again, no one knows about the. It's part of the third and the fourth quarter of this year to what extent that all this stimulus is going to really kick in. It could be 3 or it could be 4% in a quarter.
Jim, what the Pollyannas in our government have got to get through their head is that Mr. Newton's law of gravity is alive and well in the marketplace.
You cannot
things go up and things come down.
Okay. And you can't repeal gravity for any length.
You're not going to. And this is like, to me, the government giving this money out and giving this stimulus package is like giving everybody on both sides of a team a trophy, even though only one team won.
But then they all feel happy.
We all feel important. We all feel it's so misguided and unseemly to me. It's so classic, Jim. It's so classic our federal government to do this. This is yet another example, ladies and gentlemen, of how our government, our federal government, doesn't have a clue as to how the economy really works.
Most of them don't.
They don't have a clue.
Yeah, and I would say, if this was a year ago now, without a general election, we may see different results.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an election year, and it's just disgusting to me. I'm just disgusted with a whole bunch of them, including the president. Quick break. Right back after these messages. Here is Dire Straits to take us out. Stay with us.
Jim Blasingame. He's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. We got our good buddy Jim Ostroff with us, folks. He's associate editor with the Kipling Editors. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. We built them for you. They're there for you. There's no barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us, use our stuff. I hope you'll do that. That's smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where the show is. The articles, the archives of all the shows we've done all the way back to 99, and you can podcast them, you can stream them. Also, our Brain Trust members are there. You can read articles to your little heart's content. You can subscribe to my free newsletter. You can read our blog. Check it out. It's an audio blog, folks. It's a multimedia blog. You ever seen one of those? So check that out. And, of course, our knowledge base, askjim.biz. That's where you can get small business answers now. Jim Ostroff and I are talking about what Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world these days. And, Jim, the states are getting involved in some things that, you know, the states have always been kind of incubators for the federal government, haven't they?
Right. Absolutely.
They've been great incubators because they've experimented with things. For example, remember what happened in Michigan with welfare reform, and then we finally migrated that over to the national level? That was a great example of the states being incubators. But the states are getting involved in other things these days that they haven't been typically as involved in, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for instance, a very important and hot issue of immigration. I mean, you have a number of states, Colorado, Georgia, Oklahoma, and Arizona,
yep,
that now say they will deny benefits to illegal immigrants and impose stiff sanctions on any company that hires them. And you have Kansas and South Carolina that are also going to do about the same thing later this year. And we will see. I mean, what I'm saying here...
So isn't that a good thing, though, Jim? I mean, you know, this immigration thing is a really divisive issue.
It certainly
is. It's close to being as divisive as the abortion issue is, Jim, in this country.
Well, right.
And, I mean, it's made strange bedfellows all over the place.
Oh, it does.
And so isn't it better to let these things incubate in the states and then wind up and then have the federal government do the thing that seems to be working the best? And if you do that, it's already kind of been approved in those states?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. It's a chance to try it out, see what works and what does not, what stands the best chance of making a difference, you know, in the shortest period of time, for better or worse.
Right.
And yes, it absolutely. And of course, we've, you know, often have seen California taking the lead on, you know, many of these issues. But then on, I mean, for instance, even water, you know, which is an increasing issue nationwide, and particularly in the Southeast, and we have various states there themselves looking what they can do to build up reserve water storage and cut waste. People are looking very closely at that. And the same thing with infrastructure. We can go on and on. We have a lot of infrastructure needs. We've seen bridges collapse and dams in some places and all. Big issue here. Initially, Uncle Sam says, let's throw another $100 billion at it and see what happens. But you have a number of states saying, let's see how we can do this differently. Let's look at, you know, these public-private partnerships.
Right.
To see what
and toll roads and toll bridges and things like
and
that.
That's part of it. Toll roads and toll bridges.
Are these states saying, you know what, we're tired of waiting on the federal government to help us?
Well, that and maybe we would have some better ideas. We want to try them first.
No, Jim. Now you know nobody has better ideas than the federal government.
No.
Nobody you're being ridiculous now,
yeah,
Jim. You know better than that.
Well, I mean, they are here to help us, of course. But we've seen time and again, you know, over the years and the decades that, you know, things done by the states, some are better, some are worse, but eventually the better ideas do rise to the top. And it gives, you know, ultimately it gives us all a chance to see what really works best. perhaps.
Well, you know, another thing that's going on right now that's been pretty good incubator, I think, not so much for what will happen, but maybe just what works and what doesn't work, and that is what Romney did in Massachusetts with health care, and what Schwarzenegger tried to do recently in California that didn't pass.
Right, right,
and so these are examples where they incubated, they were tested, they were the research was done at a state level, and we either can do or not do those things on a federal level based on the knowledge we've learned from the states. So the states have been very helpful in a lot of these things. I like it. I like seeing the states testing the waters, pushing the envelope on some of these things. Hold on to that thought, Jim Ostroff, and I will be right back. Here is Eric Clapton. And I'm not sure if this is Cream or Derek and the Dominoes, one of those guys. Stay with us. Shocking Blue, ladies and gentlemen. A little bit of Venus for you there. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Jim Ostroff is our guest and our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust and associate editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And folks, I like telling you about their website because it's a good one, Kiplinger.com. They pronounce the name Kiplinger, but to help you spell it, and when you type it in, it's Kiplinger.com, and you can find a lot of good stuff there, a lot of free stuff, but they also have a subscription side, which you get access to if you subscribe to their publications, right, Jim?
Yes, we do. And, of course, as you often mention, we have the Kiplinger letter, the oldest business letter in the country.
1923. Jim, you weren't around. You came right after that, didn't you?
Just a little bit after that. A little bit after that. I just look very young, week after week, we try to give people, as we say, information to use for management decision-making.
Yeah, that's the weekly letter, right. And then of course you got the three biweekly letters: the California letter, the tax letter, the agriculture letter, and then a magazine too, right?
Yeah. Personal Finance Magazine. Yes, we do.
Yeah, give us the phone number, please.
Yeah, there's a toll-free number for subscriptions, and that's 800-544-0155.
And don't forget to ask them for that 30-day free trial, which I worked hard to get for you folks. Hey, Jim, let's move over and talk about one thing I want to mention is the water issue.
Right.
You know, one of the things that you guys should be really proud of, Jim, is years and years ago,
right,
before anybody, it was really on anybody's radar screen, Kiplinger was warning people about water wars.
We did.
And now they've come to pass.
It's going to be more protracted. And
between Maryland and Virginia is a big one, big water war.
Oh, right.
Georgia, Alabama, Florida is in a big water war right now.
And California, of
California,
course.
The whole western states, through,
right,
you know, they're all trying to get a piece of the Colorado River.
That's,
I mean, it's really becoming, it could get ugly.
Yeah,
and
it,
in
it
some ways it has,
has
gotten ugly, hasn't it?
It has. A finite resource and certainly continued strong growth, taxes that finite resource. So what do you do? They're not going to make much more water.
Right.
Desalinization isn't really an issue.
I think the hydrologic cycle that we were given way back is one we're going to have to stick with.
Yeah. It is.
But we've had some droughts around different parts of the country, and that hasn't helped either, especially some of these places like Atlanta.
That's
Atlanta,
right,
really had a rough time this last year,
and so
it's going to be interesting to see how the distribution of resources throughout the United States with regard to the population movement is really going to be something that I wonder how long it's going to take. And I'm worried about this because I don't want to see it happen. I wonder how long it's going to take before the federal government decides to step in and make rulings on who gets what water.
They may well do that, and that is a concern because that will lock in many things and basically say to some people, no more.
All it takes is Georgia to sue Tennessee and Alabama for their piece of the Tennessee River. and take them to federal court. All it takes is Maryland to sue Virginia.
That's right.
for their piece of whatever river that's
the Potomac,
yeah, and you know, that's all it takes is a federal lawsuit, and then all bets are off, Jim.
It is, and one, it becomes a federal issue. Supreme Court may well take it up, but two, then you have members of Congress that decide what's right.
It could be a big. Let me tell you something. This water war thing, folks, don't be naive. Don't be uninformed about that. It's going to be a serious thing. Jim, let's move on. Let's move all the way down and talk about one of my favorite topics: visits to the farm.
Yeah, I mean, agri travel, agri leisure. Is agritourism is really turning into a big business for small businesses, and whether it's people who are farmers or ranchers, especially we're not talking about a million acres. Those who run even small operations, there are many people living in the cities and the suburbs who, you know, are spending large amounts of money going out and saying, I want to help pick fruit or vegetables.
Right. Or just be around it, Jim.
That's right.
You know, I grew up on a farm, and I love visiting. I don't have any kind of crops or anything now, no livestock, thank God. But I grew up on all that, and I spent a lot of years on a farm raising livestock and growing plants and things like that, and living close to the earth. And people want that more and more, and I love going to the farmers markets. And you know, whenever I buy stuff from people at the farmers markets, I always pay them a little more than they ask for. And sometimes, you know, and I had someone once say, "Well, why'd you do that?" I said, "Have you ever picked a bean?
That's right.
Have you ever milked a cow? Have you ever dug a potato up? You know, if you've ever done it before, when somebody charges you $1.50 for a dozen ears of corn." You know, if you've never planted corn and pulled that corn and then taken it to market, you realize that $1.50 is not very much.
No, and I've done that. I have my own large garden, and
that's right. You're a regular little gentleman farmer there, aren't you, Jim?
Yeah, and there are great joys in going out there in the hot sun and picking lima beans or string beans.
But seriously, I think more and more people are wanting to get back to the earth, and I think that's a good thing. Folks, support your local farmers markets. They're wonderful people. They're the salt of the earth people, and pay them a little bit more than they ask you for. I promise you, you'll lay treasures up in heaven for doing that. Quick break. Stay with me. Here's Chicago to take us out. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and thanks for hanging around with me today. Jim Ostroff is our guest, senior editor with the Kipling Editors, and he is our good friend. And Jim, one of the things that you guys report this week that's pretty interesting is the automobile industry, some of the new stuff that's coming out. What you got there?
Okay, yeah. I mean, for instance, you know, we're looking now within 2 years at the rollout of the first plug-in hybrid electric cars, and that is, it's like hybrid, like a Prius or any of those, but you get extra mileage by just plugging in it at home at night. Mm-hmm. And the thing is here, from, you know, 80% of people travel like 40 miles or less a day. 80%. For doing routine chores, you might say you'll be able to go only by electric power.
On a typical day, I drive on a typical Monday through Friday, I probably drive no more than, I'm going to say 30 miles.
Right, right.
Some days only less than 20.
Well, that's right. And of course, the thing is here, you pay for electricity. But a key point, and electricity has to be made somehow, more than half with coal. But the point here is that there certainly are ways for the U.S. to reduce its dependence mm-hmm. on oil. The point mm-hmm. is, there are options, and You know, for instance, if early, could, right off the line, Chevy Volt and the Saturn.
I love that. Line. Think about that, folks. The name of the Chevy is going to be Volt, V-O-L-T.
Volt.
I like
Chevy
that.
Volt and the Saturn View Green.
And I guess the Ford will have an amp.
It could be. And we'll have the Chrysler Jolt.
There you go. But you know, Jim, if we could, but seriously, if we could have automobiles that we could, I mean, I don't have to have a gas powered car to go back and forth to work during the week. You know, maybe I want something different for the highway if I'm taking a trip or something. I don't know, but the other thing is, Jim, if we could have more of our electricity created by nuclear. Think about that. If we went nuclear with electricity, and we went electric or alternative fuels with our cars, think about how much we could cut our dependence upon foreign oil,
and for those.
And we, Jim, have the ability to do that in this country. In my opinion, we have the ability to do that in less than 10 years.
And beginning right now,
we got the technology. All it takes is the resolve.
As I say, it's not an Apollo moon project. It's just a matter of what we want to do.
That's right.
It can be done. No rocket science entailed here. And on these cars, even, you know, you're going longer, further, but with the electric charge, they would average, you know, 80 to 100 miles a gallon of gasoline.
Right.
Because you're using electricity. You're paying a bit for electricity, too, but it's a change in paradigm. It's a change in mindset. We can do it if we want to. Decision is ours and our elected leaders, of course.
Right.
So, and we also say here that, that right now there's been a lot of talk here about India's Tata Motors developing a car. They're selling that, $2,500. And if they brought it to the U.S. meeting all requirements, it might be $5,000. And people saying, oh my gosh, a $5,000 new car. But the thing is, it is beyond stripped down than anything you've ever seen.
Right.
So, you know, don't expect to see a land rush of Indian cars, at least not that car, anytime soon.
Yeah. Jim, let's move down and talk about the Colombia Free Trade Agreement.
Right, yes.
That's not going to happen, is it?
It won't, because Democrats will not let that happen.
Folks, Jim, Uribe, the president of Colombia, is a courageous man. He has worked so hard to get that country straightened out. He's gone up against the drug cartel and the bad guys down there. That country deserves to have a trade agreement with us. And it's what a free trader I am, Jim. This is really upsetting to me that we can't recognize and support that country with a trade agreement.
The alternative is just to allow the drug cartels even freer rein there, to the detriment of the United States.
When goods cross borders, armies don't.
That's
Frederick
right.
Bastiat.
That's right.
I've said it a million times. I'm going to keep saying it. Trade is a good thing, folks. And we need to reward people who are courageous, like the president of the country of Colombia. Hey, Jim, thanks for being here. Good job
today.
Thank you. Appreciate you. See you next time. Jim Ostroff, ladies and gentlemen, with the Kiplinger Editors. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.